This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. We are delighted to welcome Arena Grosu to the program. Arena is the director of the Center for Human Dignity at Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., where she focuses on sanctity of human life issues ranging from conception to end-of-life care. She has appeared in various media outlets, including USA Today, National Catholic Register, Washington Times, and the Congressional Quarterly. Arena is with us today to talk about the ongoing undercover investigation of Planned Parenthood by the Pro-Life Center for Medical Progress, whose director, David DeLaden, has been under fire by abortion rights groups and is presently facing potential criminal charges following an indictment. We'll be talking with Arena about the latest in this case, as well as a new report that Arena authored for the Family Research Council entitled Investigating Planned Parenthood and Research Using Aborted Babies. Arena, welcome back to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us again.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, we're so grateful for the work that you do and that FRC does. And especially for this new report. Before we talk about the report, however, update us briefly on what is happening in the David DeLaden case. Several lawsuits have been filed by abortion groups, and a grand jury recently in Houston, Texas, indicted DeLaden and a co-investigator rather than Planned Parenthood for the atrocities that DeLaden and others had uncovered through their videos. What's the latest status of all of this?
The latest status is that David DeLaden turned himself into the Houston law enforcement. He went to the courthouse there and posted bail. They have a hearing set for March 28th before Judge Thomas, and his lawyers are going to be filing a couple of motions asking that the charges be dismissed at once because they're factually and legally insufficient.
One of the points I've heard raised regarding the indictment of David DeLaden and his co-investigator is that journalists regularly engage in the kinds of undercover investigative techniques that he did with Planned Parenthood, including using false IDs. Why are we seeing a double standard here, especially in terms of how the mainstream media is responding to this indictment?
That's the question we all have. This is definitely imposing on David DeLaden's First Amendment rights to freedom of the press. This has been done by investigative undercover journalists forever, and it's common practice. And actually, his lawyer said, the tactics DeLaden used are no different from Mike Wallace and other investigative journalists that have been using it for many years. Using the logic applied by Harris County's DA's office, every reporter on 2020 is guilty. And this is certainly the case that he is being unfairly treated because he's uncovering Planned Parenthood. We need justice to be served in this, and that really Planned Parenthood should be the one that is facing indictment charges, not the messenger of what Planned Parenthood is doing.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and we will continue to pray and hope for a very positive turnout in this case, and a turnout that is appropriate for all that has come to light with respect to Planned Parenthood's inhumane atrocities. And we certainly will continue to follow this case with great interest, and I appreciate that update. But Arena, I want to switch gears a little bit now and have you tell us about the purpose of the new report that FRC just released on Planned Parenthood.
So the report is meant to synthesize information that we have, especially public documents and any primary source documents that show the links between 20 Planned Parenthood affiliates and the abortion industry in terms of collecting aborted baby organs. And then we also look into biotech companies, the ones collecting and then selling not only to universities but also to other entities these aborted baby organs. And so we really dig into that and uncover invoices and letters and procurement logs and anything else that has become part of public record now so that we can really show that this is happening even though Planned Parenthood has denied it.
In the report, you note that during the past 5 years, and you mentioned this just a moment ago, that 20 Planned Parenthood affiliates have participated in fetal tissue harvesting programs using the remains of aborted babies. Tell us about this finding and the relationship between biotech companies and other tissue procurement organizations in Planned Parenthood.
Well, these 20 Planned Parenthood affiliates have been involved in the past 5 years in selling or harvesting of aborted baby organs. And they are very much closely tied, as we've seen, with STEM Express advanced bioscience resources and other biotech companies. These places, once they obtain the aborted baby organs from Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities, work with different universities, and we have letters between researchers at different universities and these biotech companies. And we also have seen that the NIH and FDA have given grants for such research at these universities. So, for example, at the University of Connecticut, there's a professor who has received over $3.8 million in taxpayer funds since 2001 to do research involving human fetal brains and other organs from babies.
How many biotech companies and universities have you found are participating in this kind of activity?
We have listed about 8 biotech companies, but there are many universities involved. There's one article that was published saying that in 2014 alone, the NIH spent $76 million on human fetal tissue research and made grants to more than 50 universities, including Columbia, Harvard, MIT, Stanford, Yale, et cetera, and they spent about that much annually. And so these biotech companies, the reason that they are in business is because there is a demand, whether the demand comes from universities or other corporations that are testing their drugs on using aborted baby organs. They are responding to a demand, and unfortunately, the fact that NIH gives $76 million a year in grants for this type of research is very disturbing.
Well, it absolutely is. Also, Arena, in the report, you detail the state-level responses to Planned Parenthood's harvesting and alleged illegal sale of aborted baby body parts. How many states have launched investigations and or started the process to defund Planned Parenthood of taxpayer dollars as a result of the release of these videos produced by the Center for Medical Progress?
There are 13 states that have initiated investigations into Planned Parenthood, and there are 8 states that have initiated defunding Planned Parenthood. The most recent one is Ohio. We know that New Hampshire defunded Planned Parenthood of $650,000. In terms of the investigations, the deeper that different state entities dig, they find charges against Planned Parenthood for things like illegal dumping of baby remains into landfills. And for example, in Florida, they found that a few of the Planned Parenthood facilities were doing abortions past the second trimester limit.
Congress has also responded by launching a number of investigations and holding several hearings. Tell us about those hearings, the outcome so far, and the role that you or FRC may have played in those investigations.
Well, the hearings are ongoing. They're a House Select Panel was started back in December of last year to look into the practices of Planned Parenthood and to continue to investigate both at the federal level and looking at the state level Planned Parenthood's practices. And what they're looking for specifically is to see, is Planned Parenthood making a profit off of the sale of baby organs? 2, are any of their affiliates responsible for changing abortion methods and risking women's lives so that they can get more intact parts, as some of the videos that David DeLighten recorded show? 3, are babies being born alive and then killed and completely against the law protecting them? Once a baby is born alive, the baby is supposed to be protected and is protected by the law. And so they are looking into these, if these violations are taking place, and also looking into the industry of the tissue procurement corporations, the biotech companies, the government's involvement in the funding of such research. And so it's a pretty expansive investigation, and it'll probably take about a year.
Well, in each of those 3 circumstances that you raised, profiting from the sale of baby body parts, amending the abortion procedure in order to procure more intact baby parts, and also the taking of a life of an unborn child who may be born alive, those would all violate federal laws that are currently in place. Is that not correct?
That's right. And so this is what they're looking for and gathering a lot of information on individual affiliates as well as from other facilities that are not affiliated with Planned Parenthood.
Well, Irina, as you know, just recently a bill passed the U.S. Congress that would defund Planned Parenthood of a significant portion of the federal taxpayer dollars that that organization receives annually. The bill made it to President Obama's desk, and unfortunately, but not unexpectedly, he vetoed the measure. Really unbelievable considering the matters at hand, but he did. And then the U.S. House attempted to respond to that to override the president's veto, but unfortunately failed to muster the supermajority vote necessary to enact that override. What happened in these procedures, and despite the failure of the veto override, why is the passage of this bill so significant, especially as we look to the future of the pro-life movement in our country?
That was the first pro-life bill to reach President Obama's desk, and he had to take a direct action. We knew how he was, in what direction he was going to go, but he had to face it himself very directly, which way he would choose. And we are very hopeful that with a pro-life president, this piece of legislation is going to be signed into law. And so we look forward to the day when we will have a pro-life president. We are grateful for all of the pro-life House members who did vote in favor of overriding the veto. So we're actually very hopeful in the next cycle, but we have to, especially right now, focus our efforts on electing a pro-life president.
Well, and it is so important for our listeners to understand that despite the failure to override the veto, what has happened is a precedent has been created for the passage, again, of legislation identical or very similar to what has passed. It really puts the moral obligation for that decision right at the desk of the President of the United States. And so that precedent has been set. President Obama bears the moral responsibility for his actions, and our next president will do the same, assuming that Congress passes a similar bill, which we expect that they will do. It's really important to look in a longer-term focus. This is not the first time that that legislation will be presented to the president, so we certainly look forward to seeing a much more positive outcome in the future. Now, Irina, before we go, for our listeners who are interested in taking a stand for life, what are some ways that they can help support David Dalyden and continue to raise awareness about the atrocities being committed by Planned Parenthood?
Well, first of all, everyone should become more informed on all of the issues involved around David Dalyden's case. And if they are interested, they can go visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood Investigation to get a copy of my issue analysis. In terms of standing with David Dalyden, there is a petition put together by LifeSite News that now has over 110,000 signatures. And yesterday, 100,000 of those signatures were delivered to the DA, and they are looking to deliver and to double that number so people can go to LifeSite News to sign that petition. And of course, people can pray and then promote. The hashtag is #IStandWithDavid, and continue to talk with friends and family, and continue to talk about Planned Parenthood, about the videos. We can do our part in making sure on social media and with our friends and family that it does not remain hidden.
Well, Irina, you and FRC are doing such a great job of that, and we're so appreciative of it. If you would, again, repeat the website where folks can go to get a copy of the report, and also where can they go to learn more about the Family Research Council?
The report is found at www.frc.org/Planned Parenthood Investigation.
Great, and they can also go to just frc.org.
And also, if you are willing and able to pray outside of abortion facilities, whether it's a Planned Parenthood or just a local abortion facility, your presence there makes a difference. Just being present in front of abortion facilities, praying, pitching in, signing the petition online at LifeSite News, any of those things are going to continue to promote the pro-life message.
Irina Grosu, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we're so grateful for the excellent work that you do and that FRC does to take a stand to defend the sanctity of human life in our nation. God bless you, and we pray that He will continue to give you great success in your efforts.
Thank you so much, John.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.